Ephesians chapter 2. Did you have a good Mother's Day?
Amen.
Amen. Good deal. Anybody get any naps in?
I did.
Yeah, I got a good nap. Jerry got a nap. Oh, good deal. All right. Kevin's shaking his head. He didn't get a nap. Ramona didn't. I actually did. I don't think Sandy did, so I won't brag too much. I don't want to get mad at me. I woke up 2 or 3 times. Went back to sleep. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We'll read down through 22. It says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank you for this time to read your word and, Lord, to study your word, and that you would open our hearts to your word, Lord, that we would take it in and that we would receive it, and that, Lord, we can have discernment with it. And we thank you for that. Ask now that you would be with us as we go throughout the rest of this service. Hide me behind thy cross. It's nothing to do with me. It is all about Jesus. And we thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, 11, well, we realize what we were. We were Gentiles. I've told you. Really and truly, and I don't know, some people may not quite see it quite this way, but we were raised and seated on the throne with the Lord when we trusted in him. What we were Gentiles. And to be honest with you, we were without, we were outside of that. We had no promise to us of a Messiah. Only the Jews had that. The Jews are the ones that were born under the law. The Gentiles weren't. In a racial sense, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. And I'm going to let me say that differently. There were Hebrews and then there were Gentiles. That's really the only way the Lord looked at it. There were Hebrews, which was his chosen people. And there were Gentiles. Gentiles with anything other than Hebrew. And but he changed all that. We read the other day in verse 4, but God. And that's an important thing. But God. Kind of like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But God. In verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. He changed all that because we were quickened. Now, we're reconciled. And well, in verse 10... He tells us that we're His workmanship. Now, when we're created in Christ Jesus, we become a new creation. We're brand new. When you're born again, now all of a sudden, you're a new creation. You're not of the old, you're of the new. And it's all changed, and it's predestined. Don't let that scare you. To be like Christ. Once we got saved, we're predestined to be like Christ. Not before that. You can't be like Christ because you were natural. You were still in your sinful state. You were still as Adam. But when we got saved, that all changed. Now we're born again in the Spirit. And that's the idea, is that we will be a new creation. What is it? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, we're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new now. That's where we're supposed to be. Now, we are reconciled to set in the temple. Now, in the first half of this chapter, we read what Paul told us, telling us that what God has done for sinners in general, in everybody. What Paul did. He preached the gospel. Now he discusses the Jews and Gentiles as a separate group. But God, He had made no messianic covenants or promises to anybody other than the Hebrews. Or we'll say Jews, but because that's what everybody knows them as. That's really not a race. That's their religion. But anyway, study up on that. But God promised the Jews a kingdom. But in this status, Jews and Gentiles are in God's program today. In God's program today, we're in the church. And so we're all one, as we read a few minutes ago. Now, what Gentiles were, according to what Paul wrote in Ephesians, and we just read part of that, he makes a distinction between the Jews and the Gentiles. He does that also in 1 Corinthians 10:32. He discusses it. Well, let's turn over there real quick. Hang on to Ephesians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. The Bible says, "Give none offense neither to Jews, to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor of the church of God." But you see what he did? He separated out. Don't give any offense to the Jews. Don't give any offense to the Gentiles. They had a real issue back then, when you really think about it. Because up until the Lord started the church, well, let me go even a step further than that. Jesus started the church on the seashores of Galilee. Some people believe that, some don't. That's fine. Some say it started day of Pentecost. I'm not going to go into all that. But Jesus basically started the church. He's the foundation. And up until Paul come along, wasn't any Gentiles involved in it. Unless they were proselytes into the Jewish religion. That was the only way they were part of it. And up until then, there was the Hebrews, the Jews, and there was the Gentiles who were outside of all of it. That all changed. The Gentiles were without Christ. Romans chapter 10, 11 through 13 talks about that. He said the gospel is offered to the Jews, but it's also offered to the Gentiles. He said there's no difference between them. Now all of a sudden it changed because Peter, as far as Peter was concerned, if you wasn't a Jew or a Hebrew, you were a dog. That's the way he was raised. They were very, very prejudiced. And, you know, I'm not going to say rightly so, but they were. Outside of the Hebrews, I mean, the Samaritans, they wouldn't even so much as go to their city. Of course, Jesus changed all that. and then here Peter is on a rooftop, and he gets this vision, and the Lord tells him, "Now you go with these guys down to Cornelius's house." Well, he gets down there and he told them, he said, "You do realize I'm not even supposed to be in your house." But then in chapter 11, when he talked to all the powers that be, the boys back then, he said, "Who was I to withstand God?" He said, "This is what God told me to do." He said, so why? I'm not going to stand up against God. And that was a smart move. Trust me, you're not going to win that one. But the Gentiles were without Christ. They had no Messiah, no promise of a Messiah. They were not part of the nation of Israel. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament laws put a gulf between them, the Jews and the Gentiles. They were aliens. And we read that a minute ago in the Word. They were aliens outside, away from all this. Now, they were strangers. They were without hope. They were without the true Word of God. Now, I said, Paul is the one that really opened that door. Peter, it had to be Peter, for various reasons, that went to see Cornelius. But from that point on, it was all Paul. Paul preached to the Gentiles. And Paul always made it a point, when he would go into a town, he would go straight to the synagogue and he'd start preaching to the Jews, until one day Paul says, I ain't doing it no more. From now on, I'll take my gospel to the Gentiles. Because they closed the door on it. So the Gentiles were aliens. They were strangers. They were without hope. They were without any true God in this world. If you go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, and we're going to contrast something. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God blessed forever. Now go to Ephesians 2:13. But now Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, those two little words, far off. We were sometimes far off. Actually, we were separated from it all. We had no hope. And then when the Lord sent Paul to preach the gospel, that all changed. Every bit of that. Actually, you can go and you can, we won't tonight, but Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 15, when Christ helped a Gentile, he did it afar off. When you read that, it wasn't done like the Jews were. It was a lot different. So, what did God do? Verse 13. That very first two words, but now. Contrast that with verse 4, but God. You see the change? This is what God did. When Christ died on the cross, there were some things that took place that are very important. He broke down every barrier, every wall that stood between the Jews and the Gentiles, not just between God and us, but between the Jews and the Gentiles. He broke all of that down. He destroyed all that. Actually, Colossians 2:14 says he nailed it all to the cross. But it says, in the Jewish temple, for instance, there was a wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the structure. Now, history says, and Josephus in his stuff, he said there was a sign on that wall that if you were a Gentile and you passed by that, you died. That's where we were at. We were aliens. We were not allowed in there. When Christ died, it tore all that down. You see, Jesus Christ tore down that wall. He got rid of that wall when he hung on the cross. He tore down the physical wall, because in Christ, all are made one. Verse 15, chapter 2 of Ephesians. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in or in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. In other words, he tore down all of that, and in him he made one, and he tore down the spiritual wall that kept us afar off. He tore down the legal wall, because who fulfilled the law? Christ did. He ended that reign of the Moses law, the Messianic law. He ended that. When he fulfilled the law, he ended all of that that separated the Jews from the Gentiles. Christ, not only did he make peace between sinners and God, Romans 5:1 says, somebody quote it. Not 5:8. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we have peace with God. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ not only made peace between sinners and God, but he also made peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was a peace there that had never been before. Now you gotta wonder how that. I'm trying to compare it in my mind here. It's not coming clear to me, so I won't. Here's all these churches. They were going and they were full of Jews. They'd gotten saved, these Hebrews. They'd gotten saved. They were still living by the laws, by the way. Most of them were. Peter and them, good grief, for the first several years, they were still going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And the reason I know that is because they healed a guy there. They walked up and Peter looked at him and said, I ain't no silver, no gold, but what I got, in the name of the Lord Jesus, get up and walk. What was he doing there? He was going there for the hour, their time of prayer. He didn't need to be going down there. But that's what he was doing. They were still doing that. They were still living through those laws and things. He took the sinful Jews, and he took the sinful Gentiles. Are we not all sinful? We're either saved sinners or lost sinners. He took them because the Jews looked at things different. See, the Jews looked at it, if you were poor and if you had problems, if you were sick, well, you must be sinful. They weren't looking in the mirror. But he took all that and he brought it to their attention on the cross of Calvary, and he changed all that. And then he brought them all together in the church, whether they were circumcised or uncircumcised. That was the big problem in Galatia, is they had some people coming in and preaching the wrong thing. They said, well, you got to keep the holy days. You can't be eating the meats that have been offered to idols. You know, that was probably sausage. I like sausage. You can't be... sausage don't always like me because it causes gout. But I think it's the amount I ate. But anyway, you got to keep the holy days. You got to be circumcised. And not only that, you got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's legalism. Listen, it ain't... I'm gonna scare you now. Let me tell you how a person gets saved. It has nothing to do with that individual coming up here to the altar and getting on their knees and saying, Lord, forgive me of this and forgive me of that and forgive me of that. Because guess what? You're doing something. You're working for it when you really think about that. Now, I know there's a forgiveness there, but the Bible doesn't tell you that. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth all your sins. It don't say that. It says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Now, in the process, yeah.
The Holy Spirit's working in your heart and you're realizing, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm wrong. Lord, forgive me for all that. All of that's working all at one time. But it is the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ that makes a person saved. I have dug and dug and dug, and I thought, how did the Philippian jailer get saved? He walks up there, falls down on his knees, trembling. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Well, now we've got to pray about it. And we're going to have to ask for it." That ain't what Paul said. Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Because any other thing other than belief and the trust and the faith is works. And that's what they were throwing in there in Galatia. And Paul said, "Whoa, you guys are wrong." And boy, they had a big meeting in Jerusalem. And Baptists don't ever do that. Anyway, I'll leave that alone. So he got rid of all that. Now we got to keep in mind when we're looking at all this that there was a great mystery of the church, and it was revealed, by the way, through the Apostle Paul. That's who revealed the church. Look at, we won't go read all that, but when we go and study Ephesians chapter 3, you'll find out what I'm saying. Paul revealed the mystery, which was the church. And it brought all of God's people together. That's exactly what it's done. We got an Indian. We've got an Indian. We got Mexican. We got, I don't know what you call him, white folk from Arizona. You got to be careful using that word now. European. That's all right. I'm European. So we've got black. You're from Guam. What do they call you? All right, I'll leave that alone because I ain't sure how to say that. Guamanians. We had Filipinos. We've had everything. That's what the Lord done. He tore all of that down, and the world is so far behind. They think they're so smart. It's all about race. It's all about skin color. This life matters and this life don't matter. And this, listen, we're all sinners going to hell unless we've trusted the Lord Jesus, and he don't care what color you are.
Amen.
That's it. There is no racial matter. There is no room for racial garbage in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. None. None whatsoever. Now, I've been in some. And I get it. Because of where they are at, where they're located, south of the Mason-Dixon line, and a lot of them's changed over the years, and they should have. But listen, there is no race. God sees a sinner. He doesn't see a Hispanic sinner. He doesn't see African-American sinner. He doesn't see a Guatemalan sinner. He sees a sinner that's in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he tried to do. Well, that's what he did. He changed all that. Now, it took some time for the Jews to get used to this. They weren't wild about this idea. Well, because as far as the Jews were concerned, Gentiles were dogs. They were. Who in here likes medium rare steak? Just a few. My mom, while I was growing up, because my dad would eat his mooey. You know, it was still breathing on the plate. As he got older, he said, "I can't chew it no more." But I eat pretty rare steak. But my mom would make my dad put up cereal boxes around his plate. I'm serious. Sugar Frosted Flakes, Peanut Butter Captain Crunch, Corn Flakes. So she couldn't see his bloody steak. She said, "You're sick." But that was the way the Jews looked at it with church. When anybody came in other than a Hebrew, other than a Jew, they would say, "Whoa, that's one of them blood-drinking Gentiles." And they did.
The matter of fact, the rule was, look, you can eat meats, just don't strangle them. Now, I ain't never had desire to strangle an animal. I just hadn't. I've had a few that I've had to shoot. I've had a few that I felt like strangling, but I just had never strangled one. But that was one way they killed them. That was part of the rules and regs that they threw on there in the letter that James and Peter and them sent out with Paul and Silas. But they had to accept that, and they had a hard time accepting God's new idea here, or maybe that's a poor choice of words, his new program, the church, because they were having a hard time mixing. But, you know, and honestly, God kept the Gentiles and the Jews separated for a long time. And really, the only way a Gentile could get it right was to become a Jew. That was the only way. That's what I said a minute ago about proselytes. They came in. That's the only way they were able to. But now, really, the truth of the Word of God, the cross of Christ, condemns both Jews and Gentiles as sinners. But he also reconciles them to God in one. That's the way he looks at it. Now, what we are now, we read 18 through 22. We both, at one time, the Jews had access to God through the priest. And the high priest could only go in there once a year. When Christ died and he tore down all those laws and walls and separations, he opened all that up because the veil was rent from top to bottom. He opened all that up. Now we no longer had to be a Jew to approach God. We no longer had to go to a high priest to approach God. We could approach God boldly ourselves. And it, like I said, it took them a little bit of time to get over all of that. But nonetheless, through that, the new creation, that new believer, born again person, all of that opened up and he got rid of all that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And of course, this is a very familiar verses here at Wagon Wheel because I am a church person. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." That's the only way we're allowed to do it, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes. "By a new and living way." That new and living way is the church. That's exactly what it is. It's the church that the Lord Jesus Christ started and died and shed his blood for. "By a new and living way, which hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." That's the idea when we come to church. We're exhorting one another. "And so much more as ye see the day approaching." What day is that? That's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture. Listen, the last place I want to be is on a boat on a Sunday morning with a pole in my hand when the rapture happens. Now, I know people go places, and I'm going to go some places. I will be in church, by the way. But nonetheless, you go places. I realize that. But on a norm in your heart and in your mind, you ought not to be where you... I'm worshiping out there in the beautiful Rocky Mountains while I'm elk hunting. Your mind ain't on God, it's on the elk. Where are they at? And God's got them over their head. They're in plain view, but you can't see them. Because God says you should have been in church. Anyway. Now, Paul closes this chapter by picturing the church as a temple. Now, I want to do two things. Well, we might not ought to get started on this. He closes this chapter, really, by picturing the church as a temple. Now, think about it. How fitting would it be for the Jews, but not only for the Jews, but also for the Ephesians, because they both had temples. See, the Jews had their temple, which was, oh man, that was a sacred deal. They could understand it. When he used the word temple, they I'd say they were sitting there in church and they're listening to him preach, and all of a sudden he said temple. That's probably when, what's his name, Eutychus fell out the window. No, I don't know. That's an interesting story. He was half in, half out. He brought up the temple, but the Ephesians also understood the temple because they had the temple Diana. Now, I know that's a pagan temple, but still the word temple triggered something in their mind for them to understand that the church of the living God, the church wagon wheel, it is actually the temple of God. When you really boil down to it. We're going to read some, it won't be tonight, because this is way too much. We're a temple ourselves. But the church is also considered that. And we're going to get into that maybe Wednesday night, but we'll get into that this coming, the next lesson on this. But keep that in your minds, that the Lord has eliminated all of these things. By the way, not only are the Jews, not only did the Jews kind of separate themselves from everybody, but we still do to a point. We need to keep that in mind. We need to catch ourselves when we're doing that. Listen, it all boils down to we're either saved sinners or lost sinners. It's not saved Mexicans. Lost Europeans, I'll say that so I don't get in trouble. Because my roots go back to Europe. Scottish. I think there's some Irish, some Portuguese. but we're all in the sight of the Lord. We were all on the road going to hell. And when Christ died on the cross, he eliminated all of these problems. And he said, you trust in me, and you'll be a child of God. It didn't matter to him what color we were. What mattered to him is that we accepted that free gift from God. Amen?
Amen.